Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim is Beis, otherwise known as the beginning of the Masechta. We are about to embark on a Masechta that deals primarily with the issue of making a neder, making a shvua. Okay, so let's first talk macro. Why are we doing Nedarim now? Meaning we are learning Seder Nashim. So Seder Nashim has to do with marriage, primarily marriage. The two Masechtas that we covered so far has been marriage Masechtas. So Yibum is marriage. It just happens to be that the Shidduch was Min HaShemayim. But in other words, it's the formation of a union between a brother-in-law and sister-in-law. Then we're Masechta Ksuvos. So Masechta Ksuvos. So we just spent approximately four months, going over exactly what the prenuptial agreement is. Because it's going to be between husband and wife. Shortly enough, we're going to be learning Kiddushin. That's the first stage of marriage. In other words, the man's being Mekadosh a woman in order to set up the marriage, and it's more than just setting up the marriage. Kedushin is marriage itself, and then at the end of the I'm going a little bit out of order. Sorry. Then there's Gittin, and that's of course the severance of a marriage. So most of the Masechtas in our Seder have to do with marriage, and so therefore we're going to be learning a Masechta that has nothing to do with marriage, and that of course is Neder. So why do Neder now? And for that matter, while we're at it, we could also ask the question: we're going to be doing Nazir after Nedarim. So why are we doing Nazir, which literally has nothing to do with marriage? So those are good questions. Just parenthetically, in this particular point, a point that we've gone over numerous times, but if you're listening to the Masechta anew, the order seems a little bit strange, meaning Ksuvos comes before Kiddushin, and obviously in terms of marriage, the sequence is Kiddushin then Ksuvos. So we've gone over this point numerous times, and that is that the order of the Masechtas are really going to be a function of Prakim. With the larger Prakim Masechtas are going to be first in the Seder, the smaller Prakim Masechtas are going to be last, and you can check me on any Seder in Shas, and you're going to find that this is in fact how it works. You could ask questions here and there, but whatever question you're going to ask, we're going to have an answer. I'm going to have an answer. It really is all a function of Prakim. So, for example, we just did Yevamos, that's the opening Masechta. That was 16 Prakim. And Ksuvos is 13 Prakim. And the final Masechta of Seder Nashim is Kedushin, which has 4 Prakim. Okay, and that's how each of the Masechtas are presented in the order, in the Seder of the Seder. But still, let's go back to our larger question. In other words, here in Seder Nashim, so we have two Masechtas that seem to be out of place. So as far as Nedarim is concerned, the Nedarim is actually easy to answer. And that is that when it comes to a Neder, so there's a certain factor of a Neder, otherwise known as Hafaras Nedarim, in which a husband has the right to just simply cancel the neder of his wife. All this is found in the Torah. And so when the husband is married to a woman, so he has one of his zechuyos, one of his rights, is that he can just simply be mefer the neder. So that is a function of marriage. So there is a connection, a strong connection, between Nedarim and that of marriage, and that's why it presents itself, it finds itself over here in Seder Nedarim. As far as Nazir is concerned, Nazir is just simply an appendage to Nedarim, meaning once we're talking about Neder and a person making a certain vow upon himself, Nazir is just a subcategory of Nedarim, and since there are so many details when it comes to Nazir, so therefore it's an additional Masechta, but tucked away over here in Seder Nashim. Okay. And by the way, women can become a Nazir, meaning that's the pasuk in the Torah. Okay. But I'm not sure if that's a valid... It's a good point, but I'm not sure if that has anything to do, any bearing in terms of why Nazir is found in Seder Nashim. Okay, anyway. Seder Masechta Nedarim is going to be primarily on the fact that what we could do is that we could create Isser. We have this ability to create Isser. When you think about it, it's rather amazing and remarkable. There are many things that are prohibited to us already as it stands. There are numerous positive mitzvahs 248. There are numerous Isurim, 365. So we don't lack for Isurim of the Torah. There are plenty. And then what a person wants to do is that he wants to make more Isurim on himself. Okay, so why would a person want to do that? It's a open-ended question, and I never have good answers to that, but I'm not here to discuss the motivation. We're here to discuss the facts. The fact of the matter is, you can create an Isser. In other words, though, if you, for whatever reason, don't want to eat grapes anymore in your life, you would like to stop eating grapes. So what you can do is that you can make a neder, and you could say that these grapes are going to be usher to me. Okay. And via that neder now, those grapes are usher to you. How usher are they to you? It's an Isser min HaTorah. Meaning, if you were now to go ahead and eat those grapes that you usher to yourself, So you'd be violating a pasuk in the Torah. It'd be an isser in the Torah. So, which is rather remarkable. Meaning that something which was permitted to you, but via your neder, now becomes usher to you, and the isser is an isser min haTorah. That's obviously, that's significant. And that's Masechta Nedarim. Okay. So many things to discuss over here. I don't want to belabor the introduction. So many of the points that we're going to be going over now, we're going to be going over through the Masechta. But I'm just going to cover some of the basics. There's something called the neder and there's something called the shvuah. Okay. In fact, in the Torah, they're lumped together. In Parshas Matos, Perek Lamed, Pasuk Beis, Vayidaber Moshe Rosh Hamatos of Nate Solimor, Zed Devar Shir Tziva Hashem, already up to Pasuk Gimel, Ish Ki Yidor Neder La Hashem, O Yishava Shua, Lesser Yisar Al Nafsho, Lo Yechel Devaro, Kechol Ayot Mi Piv, Yase. So the Pasuk basically introduces us to both Neder and to Shvua. Okay, so they are similar, but they're not the same. And there's a basic difference between a Neder and a Shvua. Okay, and, right, don't know who to give credit to, but it's just a great way to think about it. So neder's a noun, shvuah is a verb. Okay. Those are not definitions, but those are descriptions of what a neder is versus a shvuah. Okay. Think of it like this. When a person's making a neder, so go back to our grape example. So when you say that this grape is usher to you, so basically what you're doing is you're giving a status to the grape, vis-a-vis you, but you're giving a status to the grape. The grape now is something which is prohibited. The grape is prohibited. Good. So now, the grape now is iser. Good. That's a neder. What's a shvuah? Shvuah is a verb, right? I'm not going to eat these grapes. And I prohibit myself via shvuah to eat these grapes. So in other words, the iser now is going on the action and not necessarily the grapes. Okay. Now, in the case of grapes, what difference does it make whether you aser to you via neder versus you aser via shvuah? But once you understand the difference, this distinction between noun versus verb, so now so much of the Masechta is going to be understood a lot better. Meaning, let's say, for example, that you're interested in not sleeping tonight. Okay? I don't recommend it, but you don't want to sleep tonight. So is there any way to make sleep usher to you via neder? No. In other words, sleeping is not a thing. It's not an object. It's an action. So can you make sleeping usher via neder? You can't do it. Doesn't work. Can you make sleeping usher to you via shvuah? Absolutely. In other words, because now that's an action, right? So if you want to prohibit sleeping tonight, so you could do so via shvuah. You can't do so by a neder. I'll give you another simple example of this distinction between neder versus shvuah. Okay, let's say you don't want to put on these tefillin. Okay, these tefillin, you feel like for whatever you're not feeling this pair of tefillin. So you want to aser this pair of tefillin on you. Okay. Can you do so via shvuah? Of course not. In other words, what are you going to say? You're going to say, I'm via shvuah going to make this tefillin aser to me. You can't do that. In other words, as far as the Torah is concerned, you have a mitzvah to put on these tefillin. So you can't say via shvuah, I'm prohibiting myself the wearing of tefillin. That's ridiculous. Meaning you have a mitzvah to put on tefillin. Your shvuah is going against what the Torah prescribes and what the Torah demands. I can't do that. Can I do it via neder? Sure. Think about it. Meaning, what am I saying when it comes to neder? I'm not saying that I'm prohibiting wearing tefillin. I'm saying that I'm prohibiting these pair of tefillin for whatever reason. I'm not going to put on these pair of tefillin. These pair of tefillin is going to be usher to me. You could do that via neder because you're not prohibiting the action. You're prohibiting the object. Okay. So basic distinction between neder versus shvuah. We're going to be seeing this distinction multiple times. Take Shvuah right now and put it on the back burner. We're not going to be discussing Shvuah. And later in the Masechta, we'll talk more about Shvuahs. But just to understand and know that basic difference between Neder versus Shvuah. Good. One more point in the introduction, and then we'll just start with the Masechta. And that is, how do you make a Neder? So the way you make a Neder is that you say that this object is going to be usher to you. The grapes, we'll go back to the grapes. The grapes are usher to you, and you say, if I Neder, all right, I make these grapes prohibited to me. Good. So that is one way to make a neder, and just simply to articulate and state that this is usher to me via a neder. No, you can if you want. You can make all the grapes of the world to you usher to you via neder. You could do that. But in other words, if this bowl of grape right now is not speaking to you, and for whatever reason, again, I'm not interested in motivation, but for whatever reason, that bowl on the table, you're not interested, you can usher to you via neder. So that is the Iker Neder. Now, Just two more new concepts to introduce us to here in the beginning of the Masechta, and let's start with Kinuyim. Okay, Kinuyim, right? If you're familiar with the Nusach of Kol Nidre, we say it annually, so you hear that term a lot. Kinuyim, Kinuyei. So what are Kinuyim? So Kinuyim are basically words that don't necessarily have intrinsic meaning, but nevertheless, they're words that we use, right? Parlance, if you will. And what I do is I make something also to me via a Kinuy. Meaning, instead of saying that this item to me is going to be also like a carbon, you use another word, not carbon, but a word similar to carbon. Let's say, for example, konem. You're going to see that word a lot throughout our Masechta. What does the word konem mean? It's not a word. But it's a word that we've used, that we've adopted in our language, that basically takes the place of carbon. It is a kind of like a bastardized language, if you will. Okay, but in other words, but it's words that we use. Now, you'll wait a week and a half and Daf Yud, so the Masechta is going to discuss how exactly Kinuyim work. Meaning, what is it that we're using a word that's not exactly the word, we're trying to say with the word carbon, instead we say the word konam, how does that work exactly? So Daf Yud is going to be the Daf in which we have a very basic discussion and disagreement between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish, how exactly Kinuyim are working, but right now I'm just introducing us to the idea, the concept of a Kinuy. So instead of saying that these grapes are going to be usher to me like a carbon, I don't use the word carbon, I use the word konam, right? It's a funny word, but it works. And it works via what's called the kinui. That's kinui neder. And then one more thing to go over, and that's yados. The idea behind yados is that I don't say the full neder. I only make half a sentence. So nevertheless, even though I'm not making the full neder, I'm only saying part of the neder, that works. How does that work? It's a concept called yad. Yad is basically a hand, but in this case, it's a handle. Okay, just like when you pick up a pot, you can either put your hand, well, if it's coming right off the stove, you can't. But you can either pick up a pot by holding the actual pot itself, or there's a handle on the pot, and you can pick up the handle, and in doing so, you're going to be picking up the pot. Same thing with a neder. You don't have to make the full formulation. You make a part of a neder, but as long as what you said is intelligible enough, so that now qualifies as a yad, and that also now is going to prohibit you via nedarim. So there's what's called the Iker Neder, there's a Kinui, and then there's a Yad. And all those are successful ways of formulating a Neder. Okay, there's a lot more to go over, but for the purposes right now, we're good. In other words, we covered the basics, and let's start our Masechta. We're on Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and we're starting with the Mishnah. Kol Kinui Nedarim Kenedarim. So if you have a Kinui Neder, as long as you say something which, again, is not a word in of itself, but it works. In other words, people understand each other. So kinui neder, so it operates like a neder, meaning it has the full force of a neder. Effectively, what the Mishnah is telling us is don't think for a moment that because you didn't use the proper word itself, but you used an alternate word, you might have thought maybe, okay, it's a neder, but it doesn't have the full force of a neder. Mishnah is coming to teach us, no, it has the full force of a neder. And also, charamim ke charamim, ushvus ke shvus, and nazirus ke nazirus. And not only is that true, that a kinui neder works like a neder. Same thing is true regarding chayrem. Same thing is true regarding shvus. Same thing is true regarding the zeros. Okay. Charamim. Charamim really opens the door to a lengthy introduction in of itself. And I'll pass on discussing chayrem with any kind of detail. And on a later occasion, we'll talk more about charamim in more detail. Right? Stam charamim, lebedek habayis, it's a machlokis. I'll tell you what. Let's skip it. I'll come back to Cherem. For our purposes right now, all we need to understand and know is that Cherem is also another form of a neder. Could be another form of a neder. And again, same point. Shvua, so we already went over in the introduction. So Shvua and neder are very similar to one another, but again, there's a fundamental difference between neder and Shvua. Neder is going on the object, Shvua is going on the action. Okay. And also, Nazirus ke Nazirus. A kinui works by Nazir as well. So that means to say that if a person were to make a kinui regarding a nazir, he wants to accept upon himself nazirus. Again, that's next Masechta. We're going to be discussing that in more detail. So it works as well. So in these four arenas of creating iser, so you can create iser via neder, cherem, shvua, and or nazir. So you could do so with a kinui. Ha'omer l'chaver mujani mimcha mufrashan mimcha murchakan mimcha shani ochel l'cha shani tom l'cha aser. So, if a person were to say to another person that I'm going to mudrani mimcha, I'm making myself prohibited to you. Mufreshani mecha, separated from you. Mirchukani mecha, distance from you. Shani ochalacha, that which I eat from you, or that which I taste from you. Shani tom lecha, so aser. In all those ways, in all those forms, so that's going to create an iser. Now, what did the Mishnah do? The Mishnah moved from kinui to yad. In other words, the Mishnah over here didn't give us a preamble. The Mishnah didn't give us an intro. Oh, and oh, by the way, here's an example of yad. And as the Gemara is going to note, it's a little bit strange. Meaning, the opening phrase of the Masechta is, let me introduce you to an idea called kinui. And then, examples immediately given are that of yados. What just happened over here? We jump from kinui right to yad? What happened over there? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to ask that very question. Minude anilcha. What if in the yad formula you say the word minuda? Now minuda nidui means I'm excommunicated from you. Is that going to create an neder? So Rabbi Kiva hayachochich bezel hachmer. So Rabbi Kiva thought, yeah, chochich meaning it bothered him. Meaning it seems to Rabbi Kiva that this also qualifies as a neder. Okay, good. So far, what we've been introduced to over here in the Mishnah is the basic ideas behind Nedarim, specifically that of Kinui and that of Yad, right? Two other ways of formulating a Neder. Good. In the world of Nedarim, I'd like to just go back to the introduction. And again, I'm trying to be sparing in terms of how much information I want to give here in the beginning of the Masechta. I don't want to overload, but I just want to highlight the following. When it comes to making a Neder, so a neder can be done bilaterally. And what I mean by that is the following. I can make a neder that those items are going to be prohibited to me. Those items can be owned by me. Not necessarily. Meaning, I know it was clear in the Mishnah, but now that I spoke out the Mishnah, I'd like to just make this point clear as possible. Let's say, for example, Phil, I come to your house and I see your grapes and I'm not interested in your grapes. Okay. It's a strange example, but again, we're not here for motivation. Or understanding why a person is doing that. But I want to make your grapes aser to me. Can I do that via neder? 100%. 100% sure. Meaning even though I'm not the owner of those items, nevertheless, again, the neder is going on the item, even if they're owned by somebody else, so I can make them aser to me. Not only that, but what I can do via neder is I can make my items aser to you. The one thing I can't do regarding neder is I can't make your items aser to you. That I can't do. Okay. Again, it's basic, but I wanted to highlight that here in the beginning of the Masechta. Let's start with the Gemara. Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara starts off with Kol Kinui Nedarim Kenedarim Maishna Gabi Nazir Delo Ketani Luhu Lekulo Maishna Gabi Nedarim Diktani Lekulo. Okay, so you opened up with the first Mishnah here in Masechta Nedarim. Now, if we were to open up to the first Mishnah in Masechta Nazir, so we'll note that they're similar, but they're different. In other words, opening up to the first Mishnah in Nazir, which I'm not doing right now, but if you were, so what you will notice is that Mishnah also opens up with Kinuyim, but doesn't go through all the examples that our Mishnah does. Our Mishnah goes through Neder, Cherim, Shvuah, and Nazir, and in Nazir it opens up with only Nazir. So why? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. It's very simple. Mishum de Neder, Shvuah, Ketiv, Gabe Adate, so Tani Tartan. So first and foremost, go to the Pasuk in the Torah. We read the Pasuk in the Torah. So in the Pasuk in the Torah, so what do I have? I have Neder and Shvuah together in that very first Pasuk. Really, it's the second Pasuk of the Parsha, but regardless. You understand, Neder and Shvuah are both introduced to us in the Torah. So now, we're in the Torah Shabbat Peh. So in the Torah Shabbat Peh, so we mentioned Neder. Hey, in the Torah Shabbat Chsav, we mentioned Neder and Shvuah. Okay, so in the Torah Shabbat Peh, we'll do the same thing, Neder, Shvuah. Okay, as long as we're here, as long as we mention Neder and Shvuah, so we'll also mention Cherem and Nazir as well. Good. So that's what is going on in our Mishnah. Mishum de Neder Shvuah Ketiv VeGabe Hadade Tani Tartan VeKevan Tani Tartan Tani Lekulu. VeListen Kinu Shvuah Baser Nedarim. Good. I'm sorry. And already that's a new question. And as opposed to Nazir, meaning in the parsha of Nazir, so you don't have Neder and Shvuah lumped together. So therefore, what the Mishnah, that first Mishnah Nazir is doing is just it can isolate and focus solely on Nazirus, and it doesn't have to get into, as long as we mention Nazir, so why don't we mention Shvuah as well? There's no need for that. Nothing's pushing the Tana to have to add anything to Nazir. But over here, there's a push because of the Pasuk in the Torah. Good. V'listnei kinui Shvuah Basa Nedarim. And so, Why the order of the Mishnah? So, meaning, if you look back at the Mishnah, kol kinui nedarim kinedarim, v'charamim kecharamim, u'shevuos keshevuos v'nezirus kenezirus. So, it has neder, and what should be the next thing? So, the next thing should be shvua. Meaning, again, what did we just learn together? That what prompted the Mishnah to add shvua is because of the pasuk in the Torah. So, if the pasuk in the Torah has neder and shvua in one pasuk, so therefore, our Tana did the same thing. Good. So then what the Tana should do is have after neder, immediately afterwards it has shvua. But that's not what happens. In other words, in our Mishnah, it went from neder to cherem, then shvua, then nazir. So I did the Tana, so the Gemara answers, I did the Tana nedarim de mitzur chefza aleha, Tana nami charamim de mitzur chefza aleha, lafuk shvua de kaasar nafshei min chefza. Ah. So the Gemara explains like this. Again, once you know the basic difference between neder and shvua, makes a lot of sense. Neder is when I asser an object upon me, or my object onto somebody else. Right? Neder now is going on the object. Masha'ein came when it comes to shvua is on the person. It's on the action. So therefore, I know I'm going to put everything in the Mishnah. All four of them in the Mishnah. But now what I would like to do is, I would like to organize and categorize. So what I want in the Mishnah is neder and anything that's neder-like. A cherem is like a neder. Meaning when I make something a cherem, I'm doing the same thing that I'm doing regarding a neder. The object is usher to me. As opposed to a shvua now, I am prohibiting myself. Meaning the action is now going to be prohibited. And so that is categorically different. So that's why the Mishnah has neder cherem, then it has shvua. Okay. What it doesn't successfully do then is explain where nazir belongs. Meaning where does, open-ended question, where does nazir belong? Is nazir more like a neder, or is nazir more like a shvua? If you think about it, a little bit more like a shvua than it is a neder, right? In other words, when you become a nazir, so you're prohibiting yourself from eating grapes. In other words, not any particular grapes. In fact, all grapes, including that also, you can't go to a cemetery, right? The cemetery is usher to you. The action of going to a cemetery. So, okay, just something to think about. Meaning now that we know that we have these two categories of neder versus shvua, where does nazir belong? Okay, good. And shvua. It does. Yep. Fact check me, but it does. It does. Okay, later in the Masechta, we'll talk about the idea behind Kol Nidre. The Gemara itself doesn't have the Nusach of Kol Nidre, but the idea that what we're going to do is that we're going to cancel not only the past Nidarim, future Nidarim, that's coming up later in the Masechta. If I remember, I don't know if my memory's that good, but if I remember, Daf Tes. Anyway, I may be wrong, so we'll find out together. Anyway, Lafuk Yishvo Dekasa Nafshe Menechefza. Pasuk Mikinuim Kol Kinuim Nidarim, and Mefarish Yados. Ha'om lechaver amuda ani mimcha v'su yados inche. Okay, so other basic questions regarding the structure of our Mishnah. What happened in our Mishnah is that the Mishnah had this big opening, right? That a kinui neder is like a neder. Great. And then what the Mishnah did is the Mishnah gave examples of kinuyim. No, not of kinuyim. The Mishnah gave examples of yados. So what just happened? Meaning the Mishnah says, here, let me introduce you to this idea. It's called kinuyim. And then the Mishnah gives examples of not kinuyim. That's weird. On top of that, there was no introductory statement in our Mishnah regarding yados. Meaning the Mishnah then didn't go on to say, oh, and also, not only let me introduce you to this big idea of kinuyim, let me introduce you to this big idea of yados. Meaning what just happened over here, the Mishnah's choppy. It's really choppy. So, pasach b'kinuim kol kinuim nedarim mefarish yados. Ha'omer l'chaver mudani mimcha yados inche. So, and it forgot about yados, meaning it forgot to open up about yados. So, Iri Bahon, the v'chesur mechzer v'hachi kitani, kol kinuim nedarim kinedarim v'yados nedarim kinedarim. Okay, so, the Gemara says you're going to have to put an edit into the Mishnah. Okay, we're going to edit the Mishnah right now. Okay, and even though, we've gone over this point numerous times, even though clearly the Mishnah demands an edit, we're not actually editing the Mishnah, meaning the Mishnah is left as it is, right? In other words, there's a certain nusach of the Mishnah, and once the Mishnah is nusached, it's a funny word, but Once the, right, that's my kinui for the day. Once the Mishnah has been nusached, meaning once it's stamped, that's it. In other words, we don't actually change the Mishnah. But now that we're trying to read and understand the Mishnah, you have to add this to the Mishnah. Otherwise, the Mishnah is not readable. And that is that the Mishnah is to be read as Kol Kinui Nadarim Kinadarim, meaning let me open up with this big topic called Kinuyim, and also Yados Nadarim Kinadarim. And I want to introduce you to a second big topic, and that's Yados. Okay, good. So you can make a neder either via Kinui or via Yad, and that works. Good. That's how the Mishnah should open up. That's an edit in the Mishnah. Lifrusha Kinuyim Bereisha. So how would the Salak Mineo Mefarsh Bereisha? Okay, so even now, with our edited version of the Mishnah is a little bit strange. Here's what I want to introduce you to. I want to introduce you to Kinui. I want to introduce you to Yad. Two different ways in which you can make a neder. Aside from the Iker neder, meaning actually formulating a coherent statement in of itself, you could do so either via Kinui, or you could do so via Yad. Good. All that's good. So now, basically, in the Mishnah, what do I have? I have A and B. A is Kinui and B is Yad. Two new topics to introduce you to. Now the Gemara says, look at the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah do? The Mishnah then gave examples of Yados. Again, we're in the Mishnah, we're looking for organization. So if the Mishnah is going to introduce us, here's A and then here's B. So what should be the example given first? A. Actually, the Mishnah should be giving examples of Kinuyim. Now later in the Masechta, later in our Perek, we're going to give examples of Kinuyim. But why structurally is the Mishnah going A, B, and then giving examples of B? Isn't that strange? Basically, the structure of the Mishnayos are A, B. Those are the intro statements, the preamble. And then examples, B, A. That's weird. Shouldn't the Mishnah be going A, B, A, B? A, B meaning point A, point A, point B. Intro. And then examples of A and B. Okay. So the Gemara says, I know it's a little bit strange, but you go through Mishnayos throughout Shas, and you'll find the structure of ABBA all the time. Lifrush kinuyim bereisha. So how does salak mineh? Who mefarsh bereisha? So the Gemara says it's very simple. In other words, since we went AB and we just finished giving the preamble to B, examples of B, did none. Gemara says, let me take you a little walk throughout Shas. You'll see this all the time. Bameh malikin v'ameh malikin. Mitzvah to light licht on Friday night. Before Shabbos, obviously. And so what do I light with and what do I not light with? Meaning which oils are good, which oils are not good. Which wicks are good and which wicks are not good. It's the second parak of Shabbos. So what do I light with and what don't I light with? So that's A, B. And then Ein Madlikin. And then what do the Mishnayos do? It immediately jumps to, here's a list of what you can't light with. So that's an example of A, B, B, A. Ba'me tomnin v'ma Ein tomnin hatmana. Insulation on Shabbos. Insulating food before Shabbos, on Shabbos. What can I use for insulation? What can I not use for insulation? So, ein tomnim bo b'me isha yotza v'me ina isha yotza. And in that parak, again, I think it's the fourth parak of Masechta Shabbos. So in that parak, so what does it go over? It goes over the structure of A, B, B, A. Also, b'me isha yotza v'me ina yotza. What can a woman walk out with on Shabbos? What can she not walk out with on Shabbos? Meaning a certain jewelry that a woman cannot wear on Shabbos. Why? For fear that while she's walking the Rishus Haram, she's going to take them off and show them to a friend and carry them. And so therefore, certain jewelry is prohibited to be worn on Shabbos. Good. So that's, and now what, how does that Mishnah present itself? What she can wear and what she can't wear. Can is A, can't is B. And lo say to Isha. And then the examples immediately go to B. Meaning structurally, the Mishnahs over there are A, B, B, A. Okay, so the Gemara says that's great. I'm glad you gave me all those examples. V'chol heicha de pasuk la mefarsh bereisha v'atanan yesh nochlin u'manchilin nochlin v'lo manchilin ve'ela nochlin u'manchilin yesh mutaros lebaleim v'asuros liyivmeim mutaros liyivmeim v'asuros lebaleim ve'ela mutaros lebaleim v'asuros liyivmeim yesh she'tuno shemen levona shemen v'lo levona ve'ela tuno shemen v'lo levona yesh tuno sagasha ve'ein tuno tenufa tenufa v'lo agasha ve'ela tuno sagasha. Yesh b'chor l'nachala, v'ein b'chor l'kohen. B'chor l'kohen, v'ein b'chor l'nachala. V'ezi b'chor l'nachala, v'ein b'chor l'kohen. Now, I know I just read a lot. You'll forgive me. I'm not going to go through each one of these examples. But basically, the Gemara just gave us five different examples of A, B, A, B. So you're telling me that the Mishnah stylistically likes ABBA, and you did give me good examples. But I also know that the Mishnah stylistically likes ABAB, and we just went through five different examples throughout Shas. So which one is it? Stylistically, what does the Mishnah prefer? Does the Mishnah prefer the structure of ABBA or ABAB? Good. It's a fair question. The Gemara tries to give a rhyme and a reason in terms of which structure does the Mishnah prefer. V'halein, all the Mishnahs that you just cited, Mishim da'af shulayim, efar shahud da'pasach bereisham. In other words, when do the Mishnahs like going over the structure of ABAB? When there's a lot to talk about regarding A. When there are multiple examples of A. So therefore, the Mishnahs like ABAB when A has got more than one citation, more than one example. The Gemara says, I don't know if you're right about that. Meaning, v'haba me behema yotza v'ma ina yotza, d'lo avsha, diktani yotze gamal. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, I go back to Masech v'Shabbos, what an animal can wear, what an animal cannot wear. Again, similar concern, is that if you put something on an animal, and it's, A, there's a concern that it might fall off the animal, and B, by the way, over there, there's also concern that if it's not a levush, if it's not something that is facilitating the animal, so then it's a burden, and then the animal is going to be carrying, and you have a mitzvah when you own animals, that you're not going to be mechal Shabbos, and your animals are not going to be mechal Shabbos as well. Okay. Right? Shvisas behemta. Anyway, what we need to focus on for this morning is that in the Mishnah over there, b'meim behema yotza v'meina yotza, where there are not that many halachas, and there are not that many chilukim, and meanwhile, yotze gamal. So the Mishnah over there is going over ABAB, and meanwhile, A, there are not that many examples. So your suggestion that maybe only ABAB when there's so many examples by A, it's not true. Ela lav dafka, zimna mefarish ahud depasach bereisha, zimna ahud desalach mefarish bereisha. So what the Gemara suggests is, okay, maybe there is no rhyme or reason. Sometimes the Mishnayos go with a structure of ABBA, like our Mishnah. Sometimes the Mishnayos go with structures of ABAB, like for example, what we just did, the Mishnah Shabbos, about what animals can wear, what animals cannot wear. Okay. And as much as we'd love to suggest that there is rhyme or reason, maybe there is no rhyme or reason, and yesh v'yesh. Ibai Yisema, alternatively suggested Gemara, Yados Aydid De'asi B'drasha Mefarsh L'Bereisha. Maybe it's because Yados are Midrash Asyan. Meaning, how do we know about Yados? So Yados we know because of not the Torah tells us that even though I don't formulate a full sentence, even though I make a half sentence, and yes, if you're writing a paper, points are going to be deducted, but is it going to work regarding an Eder? 100%. How do I know that? So we're going to see later in the Masechta, it's based on a Drasha. Okay. So, and we know that anything that has come to us via Drasha, so Chaviv, it's Chachmei Yisrael, love it even more. Meaning the idea that not only is our Torah going to be a function of that which is written in the Torah Shebichsav, but also Torah Shebaal Peh, that of the oral tradition. And so therefore, when something comes to us via Torah Shebaal Peh, when it comes to us via Drasha and oral tradition, so therefore, it becomes more beloved. So even though the Mishnah went over, here's a Kinui, and here's a Yad, but then the Mishnah immediately jumped and gave examples of Yados, because Chaviv, because it's more beloved. Okay, and maybe over here that's why. Okay, Adkan, that takes us to the end of today's daf. Let's quickly recap. Let's review what we saw today. Okay, I gave a pretty lengthy introduction to the Masechta, and even in my lengthy introduction, I just scratched the surface in terms of basics to know regarding Nedarim. Here in our Masechta, we're going to be going over the basics regarding a person making an Eder. And again, what does that have to do with Seder Nashim? Because when a woman's married to a man, so he has certain rights in terms of abrogating and basically just simply removing the neder that was made by the woman. That's Hafaras Nedarim. Okay. Again, much more to discuss, but that we pointed that out in the beginning. We also went over in the beginning of Shir today the difference between a neder versus a shua, right? The object versus action, right? Respectively. And we talked about how a person makes a neder, the formulation of a neder. The Iker Neder, where a person says that these grapes are going to be usher to me, that's Iker and Neder. Or what you could do is you could do a Kinui, and you could, or alternatively, you could do a Yad. Kinui is the idea that I'm not using a word that is an actual formal word that's being used, but I'm using a word that we all understand. The word Konam. You'll see Konam so many times in our Masechta. What does that word mean? It doesn't mean anything. But in other words, but we gave meaning to the word. So therefore, you use the word konam. It operates. It works. Why? Kinui. We understand what the word konam is mean in the context, and therefore it operates as an eder. And yad, even though you don't make a full sentence, but you make a partial sentence, examples given to us in our mission today's daf. So that works as well. That serves also as a way of formulating a neder. Good. So those are the very basics. And again, even in terms of a general introduction, it could have gone on longer, a lot longer. We didn't. And then over the course of today's mission, what do we see? The mission introduced us to kinui. The mission introduced us to yad. Even though there was no intro statement to yad, you have to put one in. Meaning that was the first thing that we did. We touched up the Mishnah. We edited the Mishnah. Really, the Mishnah should say kol kinui nedarim and kol yados nedarim. So therefore, we are introducing two big topics, kinui and yad. And then as far as the examples are concerned, the Mishnah gave over examples of yad. And then obviously Mishnah, examples of kinuim yet to come. So structurally, what's our Mishnah? A, B, B, A. So on the Amud Beis of today's daf, we really had one big question. And that is, when do the Mishnayos like the structure of ABAB? Numerous times. When do the Mishnayos like the structure of ABBA? Numerous times. Can we give an explanation of why the Mishnayos chose one over the other? The Gemara says either, no, I can't give you, we tried to give a reason, but didn't work out. Alternatively, maybe here in our Masechta, the Yados is learned via Drasha. Anything learned via Drasha has a certain appreciation by Chachmei Yisrael, and so therefore they opted with the Yados first. Just one other point regarding the Masechta itself. As long as we have more than a minute, but I'll stop over here. But just one more. You probably noticed on the Masechta, on the page itself, in the Masechta. So what happened over here is that Tosus is not on the Daf. Now that's not totally true. Meaning the Tosus over here is on this off to the side. But nevertheless, what is occupying what normally is the place of Tosus is the Ran. So the Ran is one of the Sephardic Rishonim, right? The whole host of Rishonim that lived on the east side of Spain. So Girona and Barcelona. So the Ran, Rabbi Yona, the Ramban. I'm not going in historical order, but anyway. So the Ran over here made its way onto the Daf itself. So just what happened, right? So Masechta Nedarim does not work with the standard Mefarshim. Meaning on the right side and the inside of the page, you have Rashi normally. Over here in Nedarim, even though we have what seems to be Rashi, it's probably not Rashi. Okay, already the later Rishonim, right, point out, sorry, I have no Mar Makomos right now, but the later Rishonim point out that it's probably not Rashi. Okay. In other words, what happened? Meaning Rashi didn't write a parish on Nedarim? Don't know. I simply don't know. Maybe he did. Maybe it wasn't fully edited. I don't know. In other words, but it's probably not Rashi. But someone understood the significance of Rashi in every Masechta. And so someone made an attempt to go ahead. When I say someone, by the way, we're talking about somebody who obviously is part of the Masorah and understands and knows and, you know, a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but And this goes all the way back sometime during the Rishonim, but it's probably not Rashi. So even though over here in Nedarim we have something that looks like Rashi, probably not written by Rashi. And then on the other side also, in other words, in the absence of Rashi also, Tosus as well, because Tosus is really just it's Rashi, but expansion. It's a major expansion of Rashi. Rashi is primarily focused on saying simple Pshat in the Gemara, and Tosos, in addition to saying simple Pshat in the Gemara, goes over all the Torah that was learned in the Yeshivas Ashkenaz, meaning Rashi's grandchildren, great-grandchildren, et cetera, four or five generations. So they were going over what Rashi said, agree, disagree. Anyway, that's Tosos. So we don't have Rashi in the Masechta, we don't have Tosos on the Masechta. So in place of that, so they put the Ran. So the Ran writes a parish to many Masechtas, meaning not just Nedarim. Usually, typically, where you're going to find the Ran? You're going to find the Ran tucked away in the back of the Gemara, commenting on the riff. But over here, the Ran writes a parish to the Masechta in total. So therefore, the Ran is put on the page itself. Okay, in terms of reading the Ran, I highly recommend it. In other words, he's really clear. He's easy to read. It's more than, in other words, if we're used to Rashi, which we are, so Rashi writes a very succinct commentary on the Gemara. Very straightforward, very simple. The Ran over here, not as, in terms of his style, super clear. In terms of what he covers a lot. In other words, he'll go over various issues, various questions, right? Today's daf, for example, right? He has a whole piece in today's daf regarding, can a shvua be done using Shem Hashem or not using Shem Hashem? So he gets involved in that discussion. It's a machlokas amongst the Rishonim. He cites many Rishonim, meaning he's ready to discuss. Good? And so that's why you'll find, like in today's daf, for example, the Ran is particularly long. And it's not true by every daf, but in today's daf happens to be a wonderful example of him getting into these discussions. But in terms of the yeshivas, when they learn a darim, which, you know, it's not a popular masechta in the yeshivas, but when they do, so typically what they learn is they learn the Ran, not Rashi on the masechta. Okay, just another larger comment regarding the masechta. Adkan.